Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So do you remember the Sesame Street song, "One of These Things Is Not Like the Other"? You know, one of these things is not like the others. One of these things doesn't belong. Can you tell which is not like the other by the time I finish this song? Which, by the way, is why I'm here, not over there. Fabulous anthem again, by the way. Brought me right back to Christmas Eve. All right, so while the actor, the character in Sesame Street was singing, there'd be three similar things on display and one dissimilar. Three red balloons and one blue one, for instance, or three pieces of fruit and a shoe. Or when Cookie Monster sang it, I'm not going to try and sing it like Cookie Monster, there were, of course, three plates with two cookies and one with three. As with almost everything else on Sesame Street, this song was educational in nature, serving as a classification game that taught children how to distinguish between differences, a skill that is foundational to learning the alphabet, learning numbers and how to count, and more. Well, if we were to play that game with the characters from St. Matthew's Gospel, anytime the Magi, the lead characters in today's story, were featured, they would be it. And it wouldn't be hard to notice. Because across the 28 chapters of Matthew's story of Jesus, the longest gospel by far, there are no characters quite like these. That's actually kind of easy to forget. We're so used to placing the Magi in our manger scenes or singing "We Three Kings of Orient Are" that we naturally group the Magi with the other characters from the Christmas story and even the rest of the gospel. But to do so is to miss Matthew's point. On the whole, you see, Matthew's gospel is so incredibly, well, Jewish. He stresses Jesus's Jewish heritage, pointing out all the ways in which Jesus fulfills the Jewish laws and is attested to by the Jewish prophets. For this reason, Matthew's gospel doesn't start out with a story about Jesus' birth the way Luke's does, but instead a genealogy tracing Jesus' lineage from Abraham, father of the Israelites, through David, Israel's greatest king. Again and again, Matthew is at pains to make the point that Jesus is the Jewish descendant of Jewish kings and patriarchs, and so is the Jewish Messiah sent to save the Jewish people. And so pretty much all of the characters that appear in Matthew's gospel, from Jesus' disciples to those he heals and feeds, and even those who disagree with him and eventually conspire against him, just about all of these characters are similar in that they share Jesus' Jewish heritage. They are proud members of the nation of Israel, similar in their membership and inclusion in the covenant that God made with Israel through Abraham, Moses, and David. Which is why this little story seems so out of place. There are no shepherds that come to offer their praise at the manger in this account, no angels heralding Jesus' birth. The only people who show up in Bethlehem in Matthew's story are these three very not Jewish wanderers. They're not even priests or students of Scripture, but astrologers. Students of the stars, a practice regularly frowned upon in the Jewish scriptures. By any stretch of the imagination, these guys aren't just not like the others, but probably shouldn't even be in this story at all. Nevertheless, as Matthew tells it, it is these three foreigners, worshipers of another god and followers of a star, who come bearing gifts and offer their worship. As I mentioned earlier, Matthew's gospel is the longest by far. He had a whole lot to say about Jesus. And many scholars think that he wrote so much in part because he was engaged in an extended argument with some of the rabbis of his time about whether or not Jesus was really the Messiah. But before he gets down to the business of telling a story that would convince folks once and for all that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, descended from Jewish patriarchs and promised by Jewish prophets, Matthew tells this story of out-of-place pagan wanderers and astrologers who recognize that in Jesus, God has set out to save all the world. Israel, for sure, and everyone else as well. There is a place, Matthew wants to say, by including these out of place, not like the other characters. There is a place in God's story for everyone. Today, we're beginning a new sermon series entitled Searching for More. It revolves around the simple fact that a whole lot of our lives is defined by longing. Longing for relationship, longing for security, longing for companionship, success, affirmation, wealth, and more. Usually, that longing is characterized by a sense of wanting more, looking for more, searching for more of whatever good we've decided we don't have enough of to be happy. That sense of longing, of seeking and searching for more, is woven throughout the Bible. From the story of Adam and Eve on, characters in Scripture, just like in our own world, are motivated, even driven, by a desire for more. More knowledge, power, authority, security, you name it. And it's important to note that nowhere does the biblical witness say that this longing is bad. Wanting more can motivate us to work hard, to set goals, to seek each other out, to accomplish worthwhile things, to make a difference in the world. But while our longings can motivate us positively, they're also easy to exploit. Every year in this country, for instance, nearly $500 billion is spent on advertising, much of it devoted to creating in us a sense of lack, a sense that we don't have enough or aren't enough, in order to tap into that longing and channel it to buying things we don't really need, and eventually to seeing those around us not as colleagues but as competitors, urging us to get ours first because we've come to believe there isn't enough for everyone. And sometimes something similar, and in some ways more sinister, characterizes the worlds of business, entertainment, and politics, as too often folks regularly tap into our sense, our insecurity, that we don't have enough in order to advance their causes. The creators of Sesame Street eventually noticed this too. Not simply that our longings and insecurity could be exploited, but also used to divide us. For this reason, although the "Which of These Things" song was part of the very first episode of Sesame Street in 1969 and a regular feature on the program in its early decades, it later fell out of favor. As we as a culture became more aware of the pervasive and damaging effects of discrimination and racism, those overseeing the content of Sesame Street felt that perhaps it wasn't helpful to point out the difference between things, but instead to lift up what was the same. I get that, but I still think it misses the point a bit. We're not all the same, and distinguishing between differences is the foundation not only of learning, what makes a J different from an H or a 1 from a 7, it's also crucial in navigating this marvelously diverse and interesting world. The problem isn't noticing differences, it's valuing one over all others, privileging some differences as superior to others. Which is where I find Matthew's inclusion of these three odd, out-of-place magi so helpful. Because even though Matthew writes for a clearly defined audience, his very Jewish congregation struggling to hold on to the belief that Jesus came to save them, Matthew still knows that the heart of the gospel is so much bigger than that. It's not just about convincing some people that Jesus is their Messiah. It's about testifying that Jesus came to save all people, to include all people, to love all people, to make room in the story of God for all people. Matthew knows, I think, that beneath all of our longing, seeking, and searching for more is the basic, all-pervasive, and so incredibly human desire to belong, to be included, to be valued, to be accepted, to be loved. And so he starts his story of Jesus not with angels and shepherds, but with these odd, out of place, definitely not like the other magi. those who do not belong in this story, but are there anyway, from the very beginning, as if Matthew's trying to say to us, hey, if these three belong, so do you, all of you, because Jesus came for all, and that includes you. Thanks be to God. Amen.